Welcome to the World Service Conference 2021 Virtual Fellowship Day. My name's Clarence Jay and I'm a compulsive debtor. The topic for this workshop is the traditions, and we're doing traditions 1 to 3, and it's called Spiritual Abundance. We've got 3 speakers, Claire MC, then Marietta, and then Mary B. So we'll go for speaker 1. Claire MC.
Thank you, Clarence. Good evening, everyone. My name is Claire, and I am a debtor. Hello, good evening. I'm wearing bright pink so that you can see me if I don't come up on the screen there. So welcome to any newcomers that we have. You are very welcome. I'm a debtor and I'm incredibly grateful to be in Debtors Anonymous, finally, to have conceded to myself that I am a debtor, because this one took me a long, long time to surrender to. So it's on a tradition, and I'm mainly going to speak to this tradition, but for the purposes of identification, I thought I would share some numbers with you. My first sponsor in DA told me that God was in the numbers, and I wasn't so sure about that, but I thought, my ideas have just got me this far, so I'll give anything a go, quite frankly, even keeping my daily numbers in a little notebook with a little pen, which the first time I had come to DA, I just had not enough, anywhere near enough humility to be willing to do that. So here are some personal numbers of mine. I debted from the age of 14 to 44. My solvency date, yay, I have one, is December the 6th, 2016. So I haven't incurred any new unsecured debt since that day. So I'm like 4 years and 9 months. When I walked into Debtors Anonymous, I had £33,000 sterling in unsecured debt. And I just checked my debt retirement log, which you guys showed me how to do. And I have remaining £11,992.18. So it's gone from 33, woof, down to just under 12. One day at a time. And so one day I'm going to be debt free, but I'm already solvent. And that for me is where my spiritual abundance begins. Woohoo! So even if you're in here with just 2 days solvency, and what that means is you haven't spent anybody else's moolah in the last 24 hours, not the banks, not the credit card, not your parents, wherever you're getting your cash from. As long as it's yours, then that's a day of solvency. So that's me. That's what qualifies me to be here. I am a debtor. Oh my God, it was exhausting. So this brings me to the subject of the traditions. And for anyone new in here who is watching on the video, this is our 12 by 12 by 12 in Debtors Anonymous, the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts. And I'm going to read a quote from a fellow. It was written in one of our a fellowship magazine. And this lady says, "The traditions and concepts are those spiritual principles that round out a design for living that make this program work. If we did nothing but stay in the steps, we would drop off the edge and get that depression that kills most of us. And I just thought, wow, that is an amazing, I couldn't, you know, for me, I was taken, you know, I've been taken through the steps of Debtors Anonymous and working through the traditions. Like if I'm just working with the 12 principles behind the 12 steps, then I've just got 12 out of 36 potential principles to be operating within my life. So I'm only on like a third steam. So I have 24 now because I haven't worked the concepts yet with a sponsor, but I've got 23 because I haven't yet arrived on tradition 12, but I'm on tradition one tonight. So I'm in business. So the principle behind tradition one in this
That's
fellowship,
5 minutes.
Thank you, Wendy. Behind this principle, the principle is the principle of unity. That is the principle behind tradition one. And the way it was explained to me is my sponsor said there's always a correlation between the step and the tradition. And it really struck me today when I was just taking some time to consider what I might share tonight. So we admitted we were powerless over debt, that our lives have become unmanageable. There's no I in that. It's a we. So then we move on to the tradition. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon AA unity. Well, there I have it. Unity is the bedrock of our fellowship here in Debtors Anonymous, because without you guys, I'm going to die. You know, either a literal death or a spiritual death. That's the way I understand it. So I love how very practical Debtors Anonymous is. So in reading the tradition, it brings our attention to, well, how do we actually practice this principle of unity? Like, I need some help here. I need some help. So our book says that first it was our, well, I'll say exactly what it says. Our shared history, compulsively living beyond our means, powerlessness over debt and money, and the resulting unmanageability of our lives brings us together in DA. So that brings us together. That's what we're all doing here. But what keeps us together is our shared need for a spiritual solution to our problem and the desire to gratefully pass on the solvency and spiritual abundance we've come to enjoy in DA. And quite frankly, I could probably just leave it there because the book says it all. And this is how I understand that. I need you, you need me, and we need God. Because we're surely going to need God if we're going to like roll together for years on end. So back onto the practical application, you know, so that's the kind of, for me, the overarching idea. But then like DA translates it in the book into concrete actions. So it tells me, and I was like, oh, thank goodness to my DA fellows who wrote this text, that it gives me the practical suggestions. So first it tells me that it's the 12 steps and the 12 traditions and practicing those principles that is the start point for unity in our fellowship. Then it goes on to tell me that literature at meetings, I was like, wow, you know, making sure that we have conference approved literature at our meetings. So it's the same message for the man or woman who walks through the door. So it's the same undiluted message that has gotten so many of you guys way before I came along, solvent and into spiritual abundance. Then it goes
left.
Oh, thank you. Then it goes on to say doing service at our intergroups and the World Service Conference. This is an act of unity right here, right now. Our worldwide fellowship. I'm coming to you from London. You know, this is where my home group is, one of my home groups, and then Brentwood BDA is my other home group. Then it tells me I need to turn to my higher power. And then it tells me that the DA tools of business meetings. So ultimately, it's all laid out in our tradition one. And I think that I'll end on this. How does this apply to me personally? It says through focusing on unity instead of on our individual desires, we move beyond selfishness. And for me, that is spiritual abundance. And one day at a time, I pray to God that I may move beyond my selfish, self-centered fear just for today. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thanks, Claire. Marietta, if you could come in, please.
Thanks so much. My name is Marietta, and I'm gratefully recovering from compulsive debting and spending. I've not incurred any new unsecured debt since November of 2012. I actually have three home meetings. I do the Wednesday night DA compulsive spender meeting. It's a phone meeting. I do the DA Sunday 9 a.m. Eastern speaker meeting. And I also do the Visions for You, which was face-to-face before COVID. So I actually have three home meetings. I am really grateful and excited, a little nervous and excited to be able to talk about Tradition 2. Tradition 2 says, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. For me personally, I have a long history of distrust and negativity. I won't have enough. I won't be taken care of. Other people get what they want. I never get what I want. And part of that distrust had to do with my own compulsive spending and debting. Discipline was a curse word for me. And it goes without saying that my finances had been in chaos and disarray. For decades, literally. I was paying bills late. I was exceeding my credit limits. I was vague about when the bill was due, vague about how much the bill was due, had no idea of how much the late charges would be if I did pay the bill late. I had no idea. And so constantly, I felt like a hamster on a wheel, just going round and around and around. For me, eventually, after a few decades of this, I was really in despair. And I had been in DA, this is my third time in DA. And I had been in twice before. And I had decided those first couple times, this is too much. I mean, do you really have to do all of that? But having really had a chance, my higher power was kind and gracious, allowed me to really have to admit that I was powerless over my compulsive debting and my compulsive spending. But that admission of powerlessness was my first step on the road to healing. So when we're talking about the traditions, these traditions are full of spiritual principles. And that's where the abundance comes. My abundance comes not by what I have in my pocketbook, but actually by the spiritual principles that allow me to attract prosperity, sanity, serenity into my life. So powerlessness was the first step on my road to healing. That was the first principle, spiritual principle I had to get in line with. Discipline came into my life because I got a sponsor and she asked me to commit my spending to her, to keep records of how much I was spending, to get rid of my credit cards, to save for purchases, to have regular PRGs, get a PRG team, live by, have a spending plan and live by it, and pay down my debt. Go to meetings and listen to others share how they brought honesty, structure, and spirituality into their own lives. So it's quite a list, really, and I did not think that I would be able to do all that. That's too much. Nobody can do all that. But one day at a time, my higher power allowed me to do it. I'm not doing it alone. I do it every day, and it doesn't feel hard anymore. But at the beginning, it was really a challenge to do those things. As part of that, I noticed that in the meetings that I went to, which I'm very grateful for the meetings that I have, I noticed that the longtime members did service. All of my home groups have regular business meetings, and those meetings have filled service positions that rotate that people do. So how did I come to trust in the group conscience as an expression of a loving God? I find that there are two parts to this part of the tradition. There's the trust part, and then there's the humility part. And it was developed bit by bit over time. And it came about by being obedient or cooperative with what my sponsor had asked me to do. I would read DA literature. Sometimes she would give me writings to do. Make phone calls, report my numbers. And as I added additional things to my recovery program, my financial situation began to improve. The depression and the shame.
5 minutes.
Thank you. And the guilt that had been riding me so long began to lessen and began to reduce. And so I began to trust. One day at a time, I wasn't incurring any new unsecured debt. And so that trust began to build. The second part of trust came for me was watching the DA leadership in my meetings. The treasurers gave reports regularly. The GSR and ISRs gave their report. There was purchases. The literature chairperson talked about the literature purchase. We paid our rent on time. Those were things that, again, began to build my trust. In the business meeting, the other thing that I noticed, as a kid growing up, people always talked about majority rules. And so that was in my mind, majority rules. But in DA, majority doesn't necessarily rule. We work on trying to get, unanimity. We work on trying to get unanimity. So therefore, it's not enough to just say, this is it, let's take a vote. We talk about it. We talk about how and why this would be best for the fellowship. We listen to both sides of the situation, whatever it is. We get asked for input. And whenever decisions have to be made, usually what I would hear is that the input that people gave were part of the decision-making process. So those who were in the decision-making positions didn't necessarily say, well, this is how it's going to be done. But they listened, they asked for input and they listened. And those suggestions usually became part of the decisions. In DA, we ask for more than majority rules. We ask how an action can be more effective and fair in carrying the message in doing service. What's best for the group? That was what helped me begin to build trust. The last piece for me is our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And for me, that came humility. And for me, humility was a learned skill, just like trust was. I didn't come humble. I didn't come trusting. But they were skills that I learned as I began to come to the meetings and take the actions that were suggested. One of the things that we have in place for humility is rotation of service. keeping our commitments, asking about the requirements before even taking a service position. Do I have enough solvency? Have I been coming to this meeting long enough? You know, have I had the required number of PRGs? These are all things that I began to learn how to trust. Am I working the steps? You know, and if there is a disagreement in the meeting, my experience has been, and sometimes the disagreement is intense. Everybody thinks that their way is the right way. But for me, as I'm listening to those conversations, and sometimes people are kind of salty about it, they got a little attitude with them. But what I listen for is I ask myself, how important is it? Is this, am I getting caught up in the moment? Or do I really think that this particular topic, whichever side I think of, is going to be best for the group, not just what I think is best? Am I contributing to the dissension, or am I listening for a way that I can encourage unity on the topic? Am I restraining my tongue? You know, do I have a little smart remark to say?
1 minute left.
Thank you. That's going to give offense. And all of those things for me are part of the humility and part of building trust. The people, those things that I just described, the people that do those things, I have more trust in the program, that I have more trust in the program as they share it. So I'm running out of time, but the last thing I want to say is, if I get into those situations in a meeting and my feelings do get hurt, then the next thing I ask myself as far as humility is, how quickly can I forgive? How quickly can I let it go? How quickly can I get back to the unanimity and the unity? I've learned that challenges in the meetings and in business meetings are often God's instruction to me on how to learn to be trustful and humble. I learn how to listen for the wisdom of a power greater than myself. And I find this in the group conscience. So thank you all so much for listening, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks a lot, Marietta. And our final guest speaker is Mary B.
Hi, everyone. Thanks to the committee for inviting me to speak. And I'm going to be, I'm Mary B., and I'm a debtor. And I am a member of the Prosperity Group of Debtors Anonymous that meets at 10:30 a.m. on Zoom here in Minneapolis. Tradition 3, the only requirement for DA membership is a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt. I actually came into DA in 1995. I was recently divorced. I wasn't earning. I had been a stay-at-home mom for the previous 8 years while also separating from my husband for 18 months and expecting him to pay all of my bills in that separate living space. It took me a few years to recognize that separation as one of my forms of incurring debt. I didn't initially identify myself as a compulsive debtor. And our literature says that there are people who come into the program who don't necessarily view themselves from the get-go as a compulsive debtor. I only knew that I had a crazy relationship with money, and I wanted my husband to support me so that I wouldn't have to work. I initiated the divorce, and yet I came out of that divorce with $22,000 in credit card debt that my husband had incurred. Due to vagueness, I hadn't gotten my name off that credit card before the papers were served against him. And so it became my debt as much as his debt. That was kind of my entree to get me to come to DA. But as soon as I came into DA, I took out $12,000 in loans against a couple of different insurance policies because I didn't think I would have enough money because I wasn't working. And so I had to look at my habitual desire to spend compulsively by use of shopping to fill up kind of that hole in my soul. And my unwillingness to be employed. I'd lived a very comfortable middle-class lifestyle while married, and without my former husband's income, I was pretty much thrust into deprivation in a state that I had felt when I was growing up. I grew up on a farm. I was the sixth of 10 kids, and I always felt like there wasn't enough. You know, there wasn't enough time from my parents. There wasn't enough love. There wasn't enough money. You know, it just felt like deprivation. So, in reading the literature in order to prepare for this talk, you know, one of the things it says is that, you know, and that this tradition says is that the only desire, the only thing we need from membership in DA is a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt. I hadn't filed for bankruptcy. I wasn't hiding stuff that I'd purchased. I wasn't using credit cards in a crazy way, you know, so, but I had a desire not to incur debt. And I knew that I wanted to get out of the deprivation and the crazy thinking that I had regarding money. So as the, you know, when I came into DA, I felt like I was in a fog. A couple of other 12-step groups at the time I came into DA, but it felt like there was just this, like, I would hear you speaking, and it was sort of like there was this cloud or curtain in front of me where I was trying to understand, like, what are they talking about? But as that emotional fog started to lift, I knew that I needed to start earning again. I actually came to that conclusion in a meeting of Debtors Anonymous. This isn't going to work if I keep not earning. Because, you know, the financial settlement that I got in the divorce, if you're not working, it's pretty easy to go through money very, very quickly. So tradition three made it clear that I could belong. The only requirement for me or anyone else to join DA is a desire to stop incurring unsecured debt. We are a member. I belong as soon as I say that I belong. Our literature is very clear. There aren't any other qualifications. I don't have to experience a foreclosure or a bankruptcy or any of those other financial consequences in order to be a member of DA. My credit score, nobody's credit score is going to be checked. It wasn't sustainable for me to go on the way that I was living without earning and without, and I think to me that's part of the spiritual abundance is looking at my gifts. You know, what are the gifts and talents that my higher power has given me? And am I using them? And part of what I had done was I had decided that I would never work again. And, you know, that's not spiritual abundance. That's not spiritually sustainable. So again, what the literature says, it doesn't matter if we've been successful in our jobs or if we've been failures in our jobs. You know, that those are not qualifications. It doesn't take into account someone's marital status, race, religion or lack thereof, sexual or gender orientation. DA doesn't ask what our ethnicity is. It doesn't ask what our political leanings are. It doesn't want to know our socioeconomic status. None of that matters. If DA were to make any of those qualifications or those characterizations a qualification for membership, we would deny a person who really needs recovery the opportunity to recover. And I heard our initial speaker, Willie, speak today, and you know, he reminded me that, you know, this is a life-threatening disease, and we don't want to doom a debtor into the life-threatening aspects of our compulsion. So once I said that I belonged, I chose to become part of something larger than myself. I started practicing the steps and the principles and the traditions that DA and the members of DA have found a way to live without using debt or credit cards or a relationship with somebody. You know, my former husband was my ATM card. He was where I went to get the money that I needed in order to live. So I had to look for the commonalities between me and other DA members instead of the differences. I stopped trying to do things according to my ego, according to my program. Like, here's my program of debt. No, it's the program of Debtors Anonymous. And so I no longer have to be alone with my crazy thinking, or my, you know, I don't have to be in isolation. I can pick up the phone and talk to my sponsor or to a fellow DA member. I can text today, or I can email. I can schedule a PRG, and I can choose to live in alignment with the principles of DA. It's a pretty simple program, really. But like Marietta said, the price that we pay is humility. And, you know, I didn't think I suffered from a big ego. I felt as if I never got my way. You know, as that sixth child of 10 kids, I always had to conform. You know, I didn't think that things got to go my way. But what I've come to learn is that humility means to be right-sized. It means to, like, accept the talents and gifts and skills that I've been given. It means being honest about who I am and claiming my story, even if it doesn't sound exactly like other people in the room. I'm on the debting ladder. Humility is the foundation of all of DA's steps, traditions, and tools. And DA's third tradition helps us remember that we keep the focus on not incurring any new unsecured debt one day at a time. And even though I came into the rooms in 1995, I have not incurred any new unsecured debt since June 2nd of 2008. So 13 years. And thank you. And I also have no unsecured debt today. I've paid off all those debts. And as we practice this tradition of not incurring any, having a desire to not incur any new unsecured debt, we set aside all of our other differences. And to me, that's one of the spiritual, not pinnacles, but the spiritual foundations on which our program is based. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thanks a lot, Mary.